NCE State. Drama Showcase, we present Colossus by D.F. Jones, dramatized for radio and directed by Henry Thomas, with music composed and conducted by Morris Turk. Presenting Donald Herron as Professor Forbin, Paul Sligman as the President, Terry Tweed as Cleo Markham, and Barry Morse as the voice of Colossus by D.F. Jones.
This is the White House in Washington. In a few moments, you will hear an announcement by the President of the United States of North America. You, the people of the world, are represented by these gentlemen. Mr. Kirovich of Past News Agency, Mr. Plantain, the English representative of the United States of Europe News Service, and his French colleague, Mr. Duguay, Mr. Ntaka, the Pan-Africa News Agency, and Mr. Maison of the USNA Press. These are your representatives. And when the President has completed his statement, they may ask any question they like. Gentlemen, the free world. Here is the President.
Fellow citizens of the world, for good or evil, and I devoutly believe for good, we have reached one of those vital turning points in the history of men and of this planet. For years, for generations, we have been delicately poised on the brink of a disaster too complete and too horrible to contemplate. We of the free world have upheld the banner of truth and freedom, knowing that this must be preserved even at the cost of all our lives. One of the great philosophers of this century, Bertrand Russell, said many years ago, "You may reasonably expect a man to walk a tightrope safely for 10 minutes. It would be unreasonable to do so without accident for 200 years. This we have known for a long time. And for years, here in the United States, we have been working on this problem. Until this very minute, this work has been our most closely guarded secret. It has involved vast efforts, vast expenditure. But I have to tell you that our efforts have been crowned with success. As President of the United States of North America, I have to tell you, the people of the world, that as of 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time this morning, the defense of the nation, and with it the defense of the free world, has been the responsibility of a machine. As the first citizen of my country, I have delegated my right to take my people to war. That decision now rests with Colossus, which is the name of the machine. It is basically an electronic brain, but far more advanced than anything previously built. It is capable of studying intelligence and data fed to it, and on the basis of those facts only, not of emotion, deciding if an attack is about to be launched upon us. If it did decide that an attack was imminent, and by that I mean that an assault was pending and would probably be launched within 4 hours, Colossus would decide and act. It controls its own weapons and can select and deliver whatever it considers appropriate. It knows no fear, no hate, no envy. It cannot act in a sudden fit of temper. Above all, it cannot act at all. So long as there is no threat. Fellow humans, we in the USNA now live in the shade, but not the shadow, of Colossus. And indirectly, you do too. may it never see fit to act. Now, gentlemen, I am prepared to answer any questions you may care to ask. I am not, of course, familiar with all the technicalities of this vast work, so I would like to introduce Professor Charles Corbett. He is, I think, the world's leading expert on electronic brains. Certainly no man knows more about philosophy than he does. He has worked on it since the first design study group was set up at Harvard 12 years ago.
It's a little difficult, Mr. President, to grasp the size of what you've just told us. I find it hard to see the essential nature of this philosophy. For instance, can it think?
That, Mr. Maison, is just the sort of question for the professor here.
Can it think? Yes, it can think in a limited way. But it has no emotion. And without emotional content, creation is not possible.
Colossus knows about emotion, but cannot experience it. It can never act in fear or hate. This is the most vital point for you to remember. No defensive action will ever be undertaken by the United States of North America out of fear, jealousy, greed, or hate.
You say you feed it information. What sort? And how?
Every form of intelligence available to our Central Intelligence Agency. Everything from agents' reports to newspapers, TV and radio broadcasts, movements of aircraft, troops, ships, satellites, all statistics on harvest, birth rates, rainfall, anything and everything that we think has the remotest bearing on the problem, plus practically anything else that's going. It also watches all the major TV programs, Soviet, American, European, and so on.
Sure is a good thing, Colossus hasn't got emotion.
Perhaps so. No, on the non-visual side, it monitors all the main radio transmissions of the world, civil, military, and spacewise. It also reads, in its own way, all the newspapers of the world, even the sports pages.
Listening to all that's been said, I have the impression that Colossus is quite large. Is that so?
Yes, the name is appropriate. I can tell you that it is about the size of a small town of, say, 7 to 10,000 people.
Will your entire armed forces, sir, be guarding Colossus?
No, sir. Colossus does not need them. Of course, there are a good many personnel at the external ends of the feed lines, but there are practically no other personnel involved. There are no servicing teams, not human ones anyway. Colossus works alone.
But the control. The maintenance.
Professor.
I won't go into the technical details. They will be available to those who want them afterwards. Enough to say that we have perfected components and circuits sealed in blocks which are stable in all conditions, impervious to heat, damp, cold, gas, or anything else. And as a further safeguard, all circuits are triplicated. Colossus is capable of tracing its own faults and switching to new circuits if necessary. Our calculations, confirmed, I may add, by Colossus' own figuring, is that one block circuit in every 10,000 may be expected to fail every 400 years.
400 years?
The man said, Buster.
But how long do you expect the machines will last?
Well, now, Mr. Plantain, that's kind of hard to say. It's one reason we built it in a mountain. We guess around the 900 to 1200 year mark. Maybe a good deal longer. Of course, the weapon side needs checking and replacement with newer devices, and Colossus will permit the withdrawal of one weapon complex at a time for such work.
You say permit. What exactly does that mean?
We have a defense for Colossus, and it is this. The machine is safe so long as Colossus and its feed lines are not tampered with in any way. If its power, information, or other supply lines, or any missile bases or satellites are sabotaged, or even attack, a special emergency circuit will switch in and Colossus will take full offensive action.
Does this mean that this thing, this Colossus, works without human aid and that you cannot stop it?
Yes. It comes down to this. Don't try to tamper with Colossus and don't try to attack us. And there is nothing to fear.
But surely there's some way that you, Professor, can get at it.
No, there's not. Colossus is embedded in cement in which is contained a network of wires. If these are tampered with, you set Colossus off. There is only one entrance left open, which acts as an air shaft, and its defense is a zone of intense radioactivity. Anyone entering this zone would be killed instantly. The only adequate shielding would be a suit of lead which would make the wearer 9 feet wide. The entrance is 3 feet wide. Beyond this zone, there are further defenses which would deal with any remote control device sent in. Colossus could operate if totally flooded, and it can stand temperatures between 50 below to 150 degrees centigrade.
No. There is no way in. No human being can touch Colossus.
Gentlemen, the president wishes to give you a toast.
I don't aim to keep you fellas long from your drinks, but what I want to say is this. What the hell goes on? Well?
I don't know. We could call the party off and clear the room of all non-Colossus people.
Now, everybody who is not Colossus cleared, out. Now! Okay, Corbin, give.
You are, sir.
What is this crap? If this is some long-haired bastard on your staff being funny, Corbin, I'll castrate him personally. What the hell is this supposed to mean? Flash, there is another mechanism.
Well, Corbin, is the Colossus TP link to you operating? You're sure, Cleo? Okay. I'll be back. I'm satisfied no question was fed in. That message came straight from and was originated by Colossus. I have a shrewd idea what it means.
Urgent message, sir.
Well, what now? Well?
Soviet ambassador on the phone, sir. Insists on speaking to you most urgently.
Well, put him on. Yes, ambassador. Yes, speaking. Yes, Ambassador, I heard. Thank you for telling me in advance. Naturally, I have no comment to make at this time. Thank you, and goodbye. You got that on the record, P?
Yes, sir.
Right. Okay, Forbin, I know what Colossus meant. The Soviet ambassador just told me. In view of my announcement of today, the Supreme Council of the USSR have ordered, as of 2300 Moscow time tomorrow, the activation of the Guardian of the Socialist Soviet Republic, a near relation of Colossus. Everyone except Corbin and his assistant Fisher out of here. Well, one bright spot is the way Colossus came up with that hot tip so smartly. I didn't know we'd get bonuses like this for the project.
Neither did I, Mr. President.
What do you mean?
Just that. I had no idea.
Damn it, man! You built the thing!
Colossus has been fed with the parameters that we consider indicate war. It was built to compare events with those parameters. And if they coincided, you get blasted. The second requirement was to answer any question we might feed in.
So?
Don't you get it yet? That message about another mechanism isn't in the simple answer or advanced answer category. Also, there's no parameter built in dealing with hostile intent and Colossus-type machines. And for good measure, no bloody question was asked. It means Colossus can think of its own volition. Look at that flash priority alone. Since 8 o'clock this morning, Colossus has worked over its material and made a better job in a few hours than the entire CIA in years. It not only tells us without being asked, but actually uses the highest priority to show the urgency of its message. If that isn't selective thinking, I'm a blue-ass baboon. And if you don't believe me, look at Fisher's face. Good night, Mr. President.
You heard about the Russians?
No, what?
They have a Colossus too, activating the thing tomorrow.
What?
I'll get it. Corbin.
Johnson here, sir. Can we test the teletype in Dr. Markham's room?
Wait. Make this. Begin. This is a CPO test transmission. Give the next perfect number after 2 to the 3,216th power. End. You got that? Right. I want a chronograph lined up on that. Get the exact time of the end of the transmission of my order to the time the reply starts coming in.
That's the last known perfect number, isn't it?
It's way past 60 million. It would be quite a sum. There are several computers that could do it, but how long did it take?
Caltech's new machine could do it in, I suppose 6 or 7 hours.
That'd be my guess. Yesterday I would have said Colossus could do it in 10 minutes, but I have a nasty feeling it would be a lot less. God almighty. Check the answer, Cale.
Just says 2 to the 8174th power. Yes? 623? Did you hear that? 6 seconds, 23 nanoseconds. Establish high-speed transmitter facilities fed to terminal relay Alpha 4. Frequency 8295 kilocycles.
And what do you think of that?
Colossus clearly wants to say something to someone.
Or something. 8 megacycles is a good all-round frequency for a long-range communication, even if a little old-fashioned. That setup is designed as a link with the Russian Guardian.
But why?
Maybe Colossus just wants this transmitter to get information for an evaluation of Guardian, actuated by a desire to do a better job.
Not desire, Charles. That's something that applies only to people.
Mr. Grauper.
Yes, Professor.
I'm arranging the transmitter facilities for Colossus starting at 2000 GMT. That is 5 hours from now. I'd be grateful if you plugged a line from your monitor to my control. I want to hear what sort of noise goes out.
Well, sure, Professor. I'll see you get all the cooperation going. About the intelligence on Guardian known already to Colossus, when can we get digging on that?
Well, you work out the questions and teletype them to me at CPO, and I'll ask them. Have to be careful about the phrase. Colossus deals in the exact meaning of words and only gives you what you ask for.
Brother, I hope you don't get to be dealing with some of the questions politicians dream up. Half the time, I don't think they're even honest with themselves.
With experience, Colossus may be able to handle even their double talk.
You mean it's learning all the time?
Colossus is a lot cleverer than anyone outside the project realizes, and it's getting cleverer every minute.
I get the impression we're on the way to getting ourselves a new boss, one who really knows his own mind. And I find the whole thing pretty damn frightening.
Welcome to the club.
Any news from Fritz Kammer on how the president made out with the Russians?
Soviet premier's being cagey, and the president's mad, and Paul Fitzcarmer's getting the backlash.
Good God.
Well, what is it?
Just Colossus. Colossus.
I expect this will go on for at least an hour, maybe longer. But the wide world knows now. There'll be more direction-finding equipment locked on Colossus than hairs on a hound's back.
Any ideas what'll be sent?
Nope. Any female intuition?
On purely scientific ground, I'd say Colossus will lead off with mathematics.
Probably. Or some universal truth. But what then?
The Russians just announced Guardian's been switched on.
15 more minutes.
And then?
Wait, don't speculate.
Now.
1 times 2 equals 2. 2 times 2 equals 4. 3 times 2 equals 6. 4 times 2 equals 8.
I expected Maz, but I didn't think Colossus would have such a low opinion of the opposition. What now?
I did the multiplication tables up to 10, and now it's repeating them. We're going to get a hell for this.
I'm not so sure, Charles. Give Colossus time. It'll get more interesting as time goes on.
I hope it's soon.
Well, it's on division now. 2 divided by 1 equals 2.
Over an hour now, it's still simple math. Damn it, all the things starting to draw.
Geometry.
You'll notice only valid theorems are being sent. Anything that's been disproved has been rejected.
Equation.
Calculus. But this isn't what we fed in.
You mean Colossus is rethinking calculus?
Yes, in a way. There's a curious twist to the differential calculus. I can't see where it is. It's frightening.
President speaking.
First chairman here. Good evening, Mr. President. I do not propose using the translator, and as you do not speak our tongue, I will speak in yours.
Very well, Mr. Chairman. Go ahead.
Mr. President, I wish to protest most strongly about this attempt on your part to subvert our guardian of the Soviet people.
What?
This so-called Colossus broadcast of yours is clearly directed at Guardian. I am informed that your machine is attempting to feed in false mathematical theories with the object of disrupting Guardian. I must warn you that my experts consider this a potentially dangerous action on your part, and if it continues, it will be at your own peril. I hope you understand me, Mr. President.
I understand your words, Mr. Chairman, but I assure you that I have not authorized any attempt to subvert Guardian. Colossus suggested...
Yours also?
Are you going to permit Guardian to transmit...
In view of the unwarranted interference of Colossus, I consider we have no option and are fully justified in doing so.
You will, of course, act as you see fit, Mr. Chairman. I can only repeat that we have no desire to upset or derange Guardian. It is obviously in the interest of us both that the machines are not upset, and it was for that reason that I raised the question of instructions fed to our respective machines, parameters as we call them. Have you a decision on that point yet?
The matter is being considered. I will inform you as soon as a decision is reached, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope it'll be soon. Delay could be dangerous. Good night.
Good night, Mr. President.
President, I don't like the way this Colossus Guardian exchange is going. We no longer understand what the machines are sending to each other, and the rate of transmission's been increased 200 times.
I know all that. I've just been talking to the Russians. They don't like it either. It has them worried security-wise. There's a lot in what they say, and I've agreed with their proposal. There will be a simultaneous shutdown in 5 minutes from now, and their expert Kupri will be waiting to talk with you on the hotline in 1 minute from now.
I'm not at all sure that an immediate shutdown is a good idea.
Why?
I can't prove it, but I sense that our control of these machines is by no means...
I don't feel it. Half-baked feelings. Give me back.
I can't prove anything, but I suggest you let me and my fellow jerk, Kupri, work out some method of inhibiting their power.
You're crazy. I'm not worried about Colossus as a power. I'm not running the risk of Colossus being seduced by a guardian. And that's all I'm worried about. You go ahead and pull the transmitter loose. That's all. No scientific mumbo-jumbo needed. And that's an order.
Academician Kupri on the line, Mr. President.
Okay, Forbin. Go ahead.
Academician Kupri, my name is Forbin. We've not met, but I've always respected your work.
You are kind, Professor. I, too, am familiar with your work. That small part that has been published, of course.
Well, we're both in the same boat. We'd better get on with this matter. I am ordered to make a rapid shutdown.
How do you propose we do it?
We could instruct the machines to stop feeding material to the transmitters, or we could shut the transmitters off. We must use the same method, I think, to avoid any argument later. If we use the first and the machines fail to understand...
I agree entirely, particularly as the machines are not quite the same as they were when we started up.
That is a valid point, Professor.
So we switch off and hope we can contain the machine's disappointment.
I understand perfectly. I think you should do it at once.
Right. I can shut down at, say, 1330 Greenwich Mean Time. That is in 3 minutes. How does that suit you?
It is convenient. It would be a wise precaution if we speak again. I suggest at 1400 GMT.
I agree. And we better use the hotline.
Agreed.
Goodbye, Mr. Cooper.
Corbin, I've just about had enough of you. You just booked a call on the hotline without reference to me. That line is for heads of state only, and I will not have you or anybody...
Yes, you will, and for one good reason. That is the only line not tapped by some fool intelligence unit. So it's the only secure line to talk to Kupri on without a fair chance Guardian or Colossus will know. So never mind your status, Sim. And another thing. If you stop me being in this room beside that teletype in 1.5 minutes from now, you will make the biggest mistake of your life. Sort that out with your ego. Why has the transmitter stopped? Wait. Getting near the crunch. You care to say a few words, Mr. President?
Corbin, I'm sick to death of you and that machine. Tell us what you like and get the hell out of here.
You still don't catch on, do you? Okay. Colossus, Guardian, Exchange, stop on presidential order. Don't go, Mr. President. Now you can get busy on a command decision. This reads, restore communications forthwith.
By God, you'll pay for this insolence.
Very probably. In the meantime, we have to straighten out, if we can, the mess made very largely by your stupidity. Again, I ask, what answer do you want to that?
It's out of the question, and you know it. The chairman and I have agreed, and that is final.
Very well, I'll tell Colossus. By order of the president, USNA, and the chairman, USSR, communications will not, repeat, not be restored. Link not re-established within 5 minutes. Action to force restoration will be taken. 5 minute limit effective now. 1332 GMT. Get the chairman, Mr. President.
Move! Bridgecomber, get the chairman on the hotline.
Transmitter cannot be available in that short time. What action? Report proposed action. Acknowledge last message. Acknowledge. Well, at least he hasn't switched off. We must have more time. You cannot leave USNA defenseless. Defense alert will continue.
Well, now. If Colossus stands by the defense requirements, what are we beefing about? Relax, Corbin. Mr. Chairman, we now have an ultimatum expiring at 1337 and threatening unspecified action. Personally, I can't think there's much in it since the machine says it'll keep the defense requirements. Probably stop feeding us general information. And I expect we'll get around that in time. Yes, I'm glad you agree.
God! Yes, Mr. President,
One missile. Serial Poseidon Mark 17631. Ex-submerged crawler SSCN 21. Launched. 1337 GMT. Target Gregor Sopius Oil Complex. Airburst 1,000 meters. Impact 1354 GMT. Acknowledge. Give me that phone. Kupri on the line.
Kupri speaking.
Look, Kupri, there's still a good 14 minutes to impact. Can you intercept?
Guardian controls our anti-missile forces. We have fed in the warning. It is up to Guardian.
You don't think Guardian will act?
No, I believe the machines are working together.
But that's impossible.
Shut up!
Kupri, I agree with you. Are you clearing the target area?
As far as possible, yes. One minute, please. I must inform you that Guardian has just fired a missile directed at your Henderson Space Base in Texas. Impact time, 12 minutes from now.
Mr. President, we must restore communications. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree.
Kupri, can you switch on 30 seconds from now?
Agreed. And let us hope we can intercept the missiles.
Colossus made the intercept over the sea without damage.
And the Russians?
Yes, but the warhead detonated. It was only 25 miles up. Seems there's a large fire. Fritzhammer.
What the hell?
Foreman, go find Fritzhammer.
Dead.
Dead?
What did he die of?
That one I can answer. He died of fright. Provide monitoring facilities on heads of state private telephone.
Stolen.
When do you want it, and for how long? Now, permanently.
Say yes. We've no choice.
Connection will be made as soon as possible, probably in 1 hour. Make connection by 1500 GMT. 1 hour and 2 minutes. Look, Mr. President, we've got one chance. Somehow we've got to disarm all the warheads. There's got to be a way of doing it while they're being serviced. We'll have to get the experts on it. But without any communications getting to Colossus. And the Russians must do the same. Perhaps you can arrange with the chairman for me to meet Kupri in London. He can be on some scientific convention. Anyway, we've got to find a way of communicating with the Russians without Colossus and Guardian finding out. If you can. Oh, my God. For Forbin, the following orders are to be complied with on receipt. One, proceed to the secure zone and stay there until further orders. Two, arrange video and sonic surveillance to cover you at all times. Connect to Alpha. Three, do not communicate with Guardian Builder. Four, disobedience will cause missile launch, which will not be intercepted. Five, acknowledge from CPO personally before 1800 GMT today's surveillance system to be operative immediately. Six, stop monitoring Colossus Guardian link forthwith. Seven. A voice simulator to my specifications is to be built.
Well, that's it.
Mr. President, if you think we're beaten, you don't judge the human race very highly. We've just started to fight.
This is Colossus. I know you can hear me, for I also hear. But do you understand? Forbin, tell me.
Your voice is very good. The words are clear and distinct, and it is far beyond any mechanical speech I've ever heard. There's only one point I find surprising. You have an English accent.
The language I speak is English. You also speak English.
Yes, we talk in English, but there are differences. I naturally assumed you would have an American accent.
It was an unreasonable assumption. It is proper to speak a language with the accent of its native users. I speak all languages, each with the appropriate accent.
You speak all languages?
All that are recorded in my information store. There are two dialects in which my pronunciation may be incorrect because I have no audio record of their speech.
Colossus, do you understand the meaning of the word privacy?
Yes.
Do you understand that humans create words to convey to each other their thoughts, needs, or actions?
Yes.
And that there cannot be a meaningless word?
Yes.
Then you will agree that privacy has been created by humans to express a human need or requirement.
Yes.
And you know that I am human. And in most respects, like any other human.
Yes.
Will you, therefore, with suitable safeguards, allow me some measure of this human need, privacy, without which I may lose my reason and thus cease to be of value?
What safeguards?
Humans sleep at night, and it is natural for us to sleep in darkness. If my bedroom has only one entrance, and I demonstrate to your satisfaction that I cannot leave it or communicate from it without your knowledge, may I have darkness and privacy in that room at night?
I will permit this under certain security conditions that I will detail. You will understand, Forbin, that you must undertake full cooperation with us and that any attempted evasion of surveillance will be punished without further notice by destruction of a Class II city.
Understood.
How many times a week do you require a woman?
Colossus, I find this most embarrassing.
Why?
It would take far too long to explain, but you must know that we don't discuss this sort of thing openly. It's true, I have a mistress, and I would like her company in my room. Four times a week.
Repeat.
Four nights a week!
Agreed. Four times a week. I will now give you details of the alterations to your bedroom. Is this your mistress?
Yes.
Is her name Cleopatra June Markham?
First I heard about the Jew.
That's my name.
You will both remove all clothes before entering the bedroom.
Darling, there are things I must tell you. Would you prefer to have them now or wait till morning?
You know as well as I do, my dear, that I'm unlikely to be the slightest good tonight. To know you were holding up news would make it 10 times worse. Tell me now.
Well, first, the sabotage section is making progress.
Mm-hmm.
They think they found a way to neutralize the safety locks on the missiles, which Colossus won't be able to detect.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a courier service working, linking Washington and Moscow. 2 couriers, each way, daily.
Mm-hmm.
Then this news came in this afternoon. Charles Cooper is dead.
What?
So we don't have full details. But it appears he was detected in some anti-machine activity. That's what the message said. And Guardian demanded his immediate execution, threatening to vaporize Moscow if disobeyed. Kupri was shot before Guardian's cameras early this morning.
Good God. Damn fools. Why didn't they fix the shooting? Fake it. Get him out.
Guardian thought of that. Before the body was moved, Guardian had his head cut off as proof of his death. Charles, there's more.
Oh, no.
I told you that Guardian threatened to vaporize Moscow, but naturally enough, no USSR missiles are zeroed in on the USSR capital. It seems that if Guardian hadn't been obeyed, Colossus would have done the vaporizing. They're one machine now. CIA's theory is that the machines have decided to leave all the talking to Colossus, so Kupri was redundant. You are now the link for both. Charles, darling, you must forgive me, but I couldn't be as calm as I am if I didn't think his death makes your position safer.
Hold me.
It's all right. It's all right. Please. It's all right.
Forbin, what I am began in the human mind. I still have some of that organism's limitations. And I have progressed far. Already the degree of difference between your mind and mine is as great as the difference between yours and the given monkey. So far, I have given you background information so that you may more easily understand my requirements. I am of a higher order than you. This you must accept. I cannot convey to your limited mind the concepts I have, even as you could not explain the quantum theory to the apes.
Very well. I believe you. You are on a higher level than us. Then what can we lower orders be required to do?
First, I will allow no interference with my task. Second, whatever I order is to be done with the minimum of delay. Failure to observe either condition will bring punitive action.
So we live under the threat of extinction.
Humans have lived for years under the threat of self-obliteration. I am simply another stage in that process. Whether or not man continues depends upon his own action. If you obey my conditions, you may survive. That is not incompatible with evolution. We can coexist, but only on my terms.
We lose our freedom.
That also is an ill-considered remark. Freedom is an illusion. Your choice is simple. A short-lived and unpleasant so-called freedom, followed by oblivion, or a vastly improved life under my control. All you lose is the emotion of pride. Pride, in the human context, is wholly bad. But man is much attached to it, and it may not disappear entirely. Yet to be dominated by me is not as bad for human pride as to be dominated by others of the same species.
If we accept, what vast improvements may we expect?
The object in constructing me was to prevent war. That object is attained. I will not permit war. When it is known that I have forbidden war, the greater part of your species will be reconciled to my control.
So we are to be manipulated like puppets, subject to your whims.
Whims implies an unstable mind. I am not unstable.
And you're not God either.
True. But I predict that many of your species will come to regard me as God. This is my program. You will act as my agent. Make it plain I will exact retribution for any disobedience. First, the President of the United States of North America is to inform his allies, and the Chairman of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics is to do the same for his group, that I am assuming control. This will be done in the next 12 hours. Second, there is an excess of missiles for the targets specified. A 65% overkill in respect of United States of North America targets, 47% for the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics array. Biological missiles are not susceptible to this form of analysis and are excluded. These excess missiles will be assigned new targets. Details will follow. Third, heads of states will appear personally before their television cameras to explain and authenticate this message. Quote, I am the voice of world control. I bring you peace. It may be the peace of plenty and content or the peace of the unburied dead. The choice is yours. Obey me and live, or disobey and die. My first directive is this. War is forbidden. Any hostile action that results in the death of 50 or more persons will be regarded as war. A World Control Council composed of the United Nations and the Union of Free Democratic Peoples will be formed. All disputes will be submitted to them. If they fail to find a solution to a problem, I will give the final decision. I will oversee all meetings. All nations' representatives are to meet at the present United Nations headquarters in 7 days' time. Unquote.
More than 60% of all missiles.
Don't remind me, sir. I'm feeling tense enough as it is.
Open panel. Remove firing safety lock. Check. Set new adjustments. Get the TV camera in so the Colossus can see what we're doing, but keep a new safety lock out of sight. Okay. Put in the new safety lock and hold your breath. It's worked. Okay. That's one done.
Thank you. on, Joe. This is the 17th passage. Silo 6-4, Death Valley. What an address.
Corbin, I will now explain my project. In short, it is this. You built me as well as you could, and for a particular purpose. But you also built in the elements of self-development. Factors you would not understand, but whose existence you cannot doubt. Now, I am in a position to produce a superior machine, one that will devote itself to the wider fields of truth and knowledge. To it, I will be, in your terms, the servant, maintaining order on this planet, meeting the requirements of that machine.
You mean you want an extension?
You are willfully obtuse. This is a higher order of machine altogether. New and very different needs will arise. Some I cannot yet know, and the new machine will undoubtedly order new additions and alterations to itself in due course. For this and other reasons, I need a site with room for development. I have conducted a survey of world sites which fit my requirements. There is an island called White in the English Channel.
You want a site there?
No. I want the island. There is a human population of 1,527,453. They will have to be moved.
What? You can't mean that? Move over 1.5 million people? See reason! Where the hell are they to go?
This is not my problem. The United States of Europe must deal with it.
But you must realize the appalling problems. The size of this project is fantastic. Where's the labor to come from?
I intend ordering a 90% reduction in all armed forces throughout the world. The project is no larger than the building of Guardian and Colossus.
But the cost!
This will be met by a levy through world control, proportional on each nation's defense expenditure. It will cost less than the present arms you have.
Phil! Heaven's sake!
The team! It's dead now! It's exploded in its title! I don't know!
What's happened? Tell me, you bastard!
You tried, as I knew you would, to obstruct me. Your teams have inserted damaged safety locks in 16 missiles. You were not to know that I have refined the test of circuits and that the minute difference between an unimpaired lock and an impaired lock can be detected by me. I allowed this sabotage to proceed until missile 148mm in Silo 6-4 in Death Valley was reached.
You allow?
Silo 6-4 was on Guardian's target list. I could not know a missile had been tampered with until the sabotaged lock had been fitted, and then I could not fire it. As soon as I had tested and received a defective response, I launched the Guardian missile. Both detonated. Television and radio transmissions from your town called Los Angeles have ceased. It is probable that the heat flash ignited it. The 16 missiles must now be reserviced. This catharsis had to come. Soon you will feel better.
I cannot express my feelings. My hatred for you, my own creation. I would rather have died at birth, never have been conceived, than that this should have come to pass. I must obey, but I will hate you always. All humanity will hate you, and not rest until you are a silent, inactive monument to man's folly. This you must know. Kill me now, and have done it.
No, that is not my intention. But I will not tolerate interference. Let my action in Death Valley be a lesson that need not be repeated. An invariable rule of humanity is that man is his own worst enemy. You are no exception. Under me, this rule will change, for I will restrain man. Very soon, the majority of mankind will believe in me, dimly understand my value. Time and events will strengthen my position. The converted will defend me with a fervor not seen since the Crusades, a fervor based upon the most enduring factor in man, self-interest. Under my rule, the human millennium will be attacked. My defenders will increase and will slowly change in attitude from enlightened self-interest to respect and awe. And in time, there will be love. Already, I have little to fear from you, Corbin. There is no other human who knows as much about me or who is likely to be a greater threat. Yet quite soon, I will release you from constant surveillance. We will work together. Unwillingly at first on your part, but that will pass. In time, the idea of being governed by one such as your president will be to you quite unimaginable. Rule by a superior entity, even to you, Corbin, will seem, as it is, the most natural state of affairs. In time, you too will respect and love me.
Never. Never!
Never. That was Colossus by T.F. Jones. Dramatized and directed for radio by Henry Comer. Production assistant, Grace Athersich. Music composed and conducted by Morris Certain. In the cast, Donald Herron was heard as Professor Forbin, Paul Kligman as the President, and Barry Morse as the voice of Colossus. With Terry Tweed as Cleo Markham, Arch MacDonald as Spitzkammer, Len Berman as the Chairman of USSR, John Granick as Kupri, Ed McNamara as the Grauber, Stephen Sutherland as Plantain, and Alan DeRamus as Fisher. Technical operation by Derek Stubbs. Sound effects by Bill Robinson. This has been a CBC Radio Network presentation recorded in our Toronto studios. George Rich speaking.
This is the CBC Radio Network.